Please do have a pew. It's great to be with you to worship again. I haven't been here for a little while, so always lovely to come back home. I always think this is a bit like home for me, so thank you for having me again. I often think that the lectionary one day will be kind to me when I come here. After you've read all of those readings, you probably wonder why you bothered to come this morning. But never mind, the only way can be up. So let's just pray and ask for the Lord's help. So Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to come to this beautiful place to worship you. We thank you for one another, the gift that we can come together without fear of anybody shooting us or anything at all. And we think of all those people, many thousands of people across the world where that is not the case. Thank you for the freedom that we have, and may we never, never take it for granted. And may I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So our gospel reading for today is very interesting. I have to tell you, it doesn't get any better next week because we're moving up to Advent. So it'll be a bit the same. Advent gets a bit better. Obviously, Christmas, fantastic. So just be prepared as you come. So let's see if we can raise it up a little bit. So the temple that we was talking about here, if you have ever, I'm not a great sightseer, I do a bit of it, but I think if you've seen, I'm a bit of a pleb really, if you've seen one, you've probably seen, anyway, there you go. But I do go because my husband quite likes all that type of stuff. So if you think of the most impressive building that you have ever seen in any of your travels, treble it by three, and you get somewhere near to what this temple looked like. It was massive. It was hugely, hugely impressive. It was made of gold and stone and ivory. It had huge, great big ivory pillars, all made of one piece of ivory. There was gold on the roof, and you've probably heard of the vine, the gold vine that went through. And one of the grapes of this vine was probably the size of a human being. This was massive. This was a massive structure that people could see for miles, and it reflected light and places where, you know, the sun rose. It was, you could be blinded if you looked at it in the same way as you can when you look directly into the sun. So the thought that this building that was used 7 days a week, by the way, I often always remind people of that. 7 days a week, this temple was used. People lived there. If you think of Anna and Simeon, this was a place that was absolutely massive. And the very thought that this could be destroyed was unthinkable to these people, unthinkable to the Jewish people. And unlike many of our older buildings, I had 16 churches when I was a teen rector, and none of them had foundations. So you can imagine the trouble I had. Quite a bit of bother. But anyway, so that none of them had foundations. They were only built, you know, straight on the ground. This had foundations as well. That was massive. So huge, huge structure. Unthinkable that anything could happen to it. And yet we know, because we have the benefit of history, which these disciples didn't have. So we know, without a shadow of a doubt, in AD 70, that before the Romans left, they destroyed this building. Basically, they blew it up. It came crashing down. And those who've been to the Holy Land, to Jerusalem, will know what's left of it is what we call the Wailing Wall. That's the bit that's left. And again, it's used every day and all day. And it's a sacred place for the Jewish people. I always think it's very moving. A couple of times that I've been, when you see the prayers that they roll up and put in the stones, hugely, hugely moving. Anyway, that's the bit that is left. So the disciples couldn't possibly get their heads round that this might be destroyed. But as we know, nothing stays the same forever, does it? Would you agree? It's all right, you can talk in church, your eternal salvation is quite safe. quite safe. So nothing stays the same forever. Change is often very frightening for people. I know I'm a bit odd, very odd indeed, because I quite like change. I embrace it. I can't get enough of it. So I don't, you know, same is not something that I really like too much, but I know that I'm odd. So that it's just as it is. So that change, nothing is the same. Everything changes. Everything has its season. And everything has its moments, and everything comes to an end. The only thing that won't come to an end, of course, is God. The only thing that won't come to an end is our security of our place in heaven. That is secure. I love the only bit of this gospel that's quite good is that not one hair of your head will be damaged. So basically, lots of things might happen to us, and all of us who've been Christians for more than 20 seconds will know that life is not one gap. Can't get my words out. One gallop of greatness and hope and fantasticness to the next gallop. I love the fact that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wept and he ached and he cried. He did not take out a tambourine and flash a cheesy smile. And we will take a lot from that. So we live in interesting times, would you agree? We live in very interesting times. And I think I probably said before, because I've preached the same sermon for the last year, really, I think we have a unique opportunity to bring peace and hope and give some joy into so many broken and divided situations within our own communities. And as we gather here in this church today, there'll be lots of people. Well, we'll all have different opinions. We'll have different political opinions. We will have different social opinions. We'll have different things that we like. Some people will want Wales to win the rugby. Some people would have wanted England to win, whatever. Some people don't watch rugby at all. Some people like football. Some people don't watch it at all. Some people have small children. Some people have, you know, children who are going to leave home. Some people who have older children. Some people have grandchildren. Some people have no children. Some people are single. Some people are of different races. But we come together here because we worship the one true living Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our difference we need to embrace and enable. But what we don't need is to cause one another pain. And so it's how we debate and it's how we say what we think. I think it's terrible that our MPs have hate mail. I think it's shocking that our MPs have to endure that. It is an abomination. It should not happen. And we ought to be able to discuss and debate together in a way that enables rather than disables. And as a church, we have an opportunity in these times, which are quite tricky times for the church with their readings. And it's good that we have difficult readings. You know, if we didn't have the lectionary, I'd probably preach on the lost sheep every week. You'd get very bored. So it's good that we have, because happens to be one of my favourite passages, probably the woman at the well, I might do a bit of that as well. So the lectionary is very good because it keeps me on the straight and narrow, which is quite a difficult job for God to do often. So the lectionary helps a little bit with that. And so it's good that we look at difficult passages. It's good that we recognise that Jesus' journey on earth and for the disciples was tricky. It wasn't fantastic. And they did get things very wrong. And all of those disciples together, they would have had different views and different opinions. We don't know whether they'd have been remainers or leavers, but I guess they'd have a variety of opinions. But the thing is, they stuck together. The thing is that even though they were frightened and made mistakes, even though they ran off, even though they had not a clue often what Jesus was talking about, they were faithful to one another in that. And we need as Christians to be faithful to one another and to give hope to those people who have yet to find faith. Not to be judgmental about them. There's many reasons why people haven't. Our job, I believe, and call is to love everyone, regardless. So we don't have to like everyone, which I think is marvellous, really. So you don't have to go on holiday with everyone, so don't worry about that. And you don't have to have everyone round for tea, really. That's fine as well. But you do have to love everyone. That's a command. It's not me telling you that. It's what it says in the Bible. And that means wanting the best for each other. That's what it means. And if we all lived wanting the best for each other, what a society we would have. And we can start that society. It's not something that we can think is going to come in the future. I believe we can start that society here on earth with one another. How we debate in PCC meetings. How we treat one another. Now, not everybody's going to get everything right. I hardly ever get anything right. But you don't need to be cross with people. There's always reasons why people have done what they've done. It may be that they're having a difficult time themselves. So I think as Christians, we should give each other a bit of slack. Do you agree? We should give each other a little bit of grace. And we should treat each other in a way in which we would wish to be treated. And if we as Christians live like that, can I tell you, there might be more people attending our churches. And so we need to lose the judgment. We need to lose the sharp comments. We need to lose the unpleasantness. And we need to come together with some love and some care. Because I tell you, we have a hurting and divided, I was going to say world, but we have a hurting and divided Horsham. Let's not go to the world. Horsham. And my archdeaconry. We have a hurting and divided archdeaconry. People are terrified. I was speaking, I probably said before, to some farmers and, you know, shopkeepers. People are scared. And we need to be giving them the hope and smiling. I don't you think a smile in a shop and saying thank you to people. I was in Sainsbury's the other day and this person on the till, I tell you, didn't look very happy. And I saw three people, they didn't recognise her at all, just packed up their bags and left. And I said to her, hello, how's your day going? She just looked at me and I said to her, not great. How did you guess, she said. So I said to her, well, the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. And thank you for doing this job. Thank you for sitting here and taking my shopping. Thank you for not complaining. And thank you for everything that you do. Should have seen the smile on this woman's face. Now, it's very simple. It's not difficult, is it? Very ordinary things. And so I think sometimes we look too much, say, oh, we can't do anything. It's not possible for us. I think it's possible for every single one of us. Every single one of us today to do an act of kindness. Every single one of us every day this week to bring some joy and to some hope to so many difficult people. Pray for what's going to happen. I can't tell you what's going to happen. I've not a clue. But please pray for our country. Pray for our MPs. Pray for all those who are in public life. And pray that they will be kept safe. Kept safe. And as we move into Advent, where we prepare to wait for our King of Kings, and as we move into Christmas and we receive that hope, that joy, that comfort, that peace that Christ brought, as Christians, let us be able to take that out into the places that need it. And where might you find that crib scene today? Where might Jesus be born today? In the corner of a charity shop, perhaps. In the detention centre, just outside Crawley. Or in a shop door. Let's make Christ relevant to all those people who have pain. And all those people, everybody we meet, each one of us can make a difference because we know Jesus and we know that we have a hope. So let's bring that hope to the people that we meet. Amen.